it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. We've spoken many times over the last 12 months to Graham Innes. Graham recently headed up the work that the ABA has been doing on developing standards for accessible banking. These standards haven't been updated since 2002. He joins me now to update us on what's happening with that.
The principles for accessible banking, or the accessibility principles, were launched by the Australian Bankers Association on the 30th of November. And that was after work throughout this year to develop those principles. So the background, Vaughan, is that there have been industry standards, voluntary industry standards in this area since about 2002. And technology has moved on hugely since that time. I mean, we didn't even have the smartphone in 2002, and I don't like to think about what other wonderful bits of gadgetry we didn't have then. So both the industry and the disability sector realised that it would be important to refresh those documents, and took the view that what would be best to do would be to set a higher level, sort of strategic level set of principles, rather than having the detailed standards that we had at the beginning of the century. Unfortunately, the ABA took the old standards down before developing the new principles, took them down from the website, and they did it on principles and sent it out to the disability sector for comment. And it gave the impression, I don't think this was the intention of the ABA, but it gave the impression that these were a bit of a fait accompli. And the sector reacted pretty negatively to that. And Anna Bligh, the CEO of the Australian Banking Association, asked me to come in at the end of last year and try and get the process back on the rails. So I called together a meeting of the banking industry and the various members of the disability sector who had an interest in that area. When I say members, I mean the peak organisations like BCA. And we sat down and looked at what a set of accessibility principles might look like, and decided that the thing to do would be to follow the universal design approach. And so the principles that were launched on last week link in the principles of universal design, you know, things like consistency, simplicity, availability to everyone. I think there are seven universal design principles, but I can't remember them all. And then they take them into the various areas of electronic banking and apply them. And that's what the set of principles does.
So how does that differ, for example, from the standards that were around in 2002? What are the fundamental differences there?
I think the fundamental differences are the level of detail. The standards that were around in 2002 are set out in the areas of telephone banking, internet banking, FPOS and ATMs, and they go through very detailed lists of what those areas of banking must and must not do. These principles take into account that technology changes really quickly, and so if you go into that level of detail, then you're inevitably in 5 years' time you'll technology which won't be covered by the document. So the principles try and lift it up to a more strategic level and set out some base principles which must apply to any sort of technology. And I think that's the key difference between the standards. But for instance, in the area that people who are blind and vision impaired would be particularly interested in, the use of touchscreens, the principles provide that there must be multiple methods for people to access FPOS and ATMs, and that if a device is going to have a touch screen, that's not precluded, but it should also have input via other means, such as a telephone-style keypad.
How enforceable will these principles be?
They're voluntary industry standards, so they're not like the transport standards in the building standards, where if they're being breached by an organisation, you can lodge a discrimination complaint. But they do have the strength that they have been passed by the Council of the Australian Banking Association. So there's real industry pressure on banks to comply with the principles. And most banks commit on their websites to accessibility for people with disabilities and commit to applying for the principles. And to be frank, Vaughan, if you lodged a discrimination complaint against a bank and you could demonstrate that they were clearly non-compliant with the principles, they would be given significant weight by a court, even though they're not a law in the same way as a regulation under the Disability Discrimination Act.
How likely is it that that they will become regulations, given particularly the fact that we have the Disability Discrimination Act?
Well, unfortunately, the Disability Discrimination Act doesn't give the Human Rights Commission the power to adopt industry practice as a regulation. Many other regulators in Australia have that sort of power, but the Human Rights Commission doesn't have that power. So unless a government or the parliament chose to pick up these principles and make them into law, then it's not likely that they'll become law. But, you know, it's always a possibility, I suppose, particularly given the current Royal Commission into banking and behaviour by the banks. And, you know, it would be possible to mount an argument that that these principles should be turned into law rather than just be voluntary industry standards. And I suppose the Banking Association is trying to keep ahead of the game by passing these principles and saying to its members, well, if you don't want these things made into law, then the best way to minimise the chances of that happening is to behave according to them.
Is there a time frame and agreed outcomes based on these?
The expectation is that the banks will be abiding by the principles now, so there's not a time frame for them to come into force as such. They're applicable now as from the time of their launch, and there's a two-year review with which the disability sector will be involved, including organisations like BCA. So if there are concerns about the way that the principles are being applied, they can be raised through that process. And one of the recommendations that I made to the Banking Association, which they have undertaken, is to work with the Reserve Bank and the Australian Payments Network on what they describe as the pin on glass issue, so the use of touchscreens for the insertion of PIN numbers, to come up with a solution which is available to all people, not just people who can see what's on the screen. So the Reserve Bank and the APN are looking initially at some interim solutions, but there's also work being done on some long-term solutions. And it's hopeful, the banks I know are hopeful that there'll be some announcements made about that in the next 6 months or so.
Well, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
It's great to talk with you.
Graham Innes there, former Disability Discrimination Commissioner, and as I said before, Graham has been working with the ABA on developing the new standards or principles for accessible banking. Mobility parking is not something that we talk about very often on New Horizons. It's the principle that there are parking spots available for people with a disability to park their cars, usually within easy access of doors to premises. Blind Citizens Australia has been doing some work on this because quite a number of states don't allow blind or vision impaired people to have mobility parking permits. Angela Jeske, Policy Officer with Blind Citizens Australia, joins me now. Mobility parking, what's that all about?
In previous submissions to some policy submissions that BCA did a number of years ago now, we realised that there was some conflicting information in those submissions that wasn't always in line with members' views. So after some fairly robust discussions on some of the email discussion lists in the last 12 months, there was some quite passionate views around mobility parking permits, and especially around the eligibility of being able to apply for the mobility parking permits for people who are blind and vision impaired. And as with many things that happen around the country, each state administers the eligibility, cost and conditions of the mobility parking scheme. So there isn't much consistency in the process. The National Policy Council of Blind Citizens Australia prioritised the finalisation of a new position statement from BCA, which forms part of the pedestrian safety policy. So this position statement, the purpose of it, I suppose, is to form the basis of any future submissions that come up that we may be part of, and can also be used by members to promote consistency and any reviews of eligibility that may come up in the future. For an example, there are some states that do have blindness and vision impairment as an eligibility criteria for the mobility parking scheme, but then there are others who specifically say that people who are blind or vision impaired are not able to apply. So we just want that consistency and just for people who are blind or vision impaired to have the option to be able to apply for a mobility parking permit. It has been developed by the National Policy Council and a lot of discussion was held in those meetings. And then we also have taken it to the board now and they have approved the policy statement. So it's up on the website now for members to view.
And what can we do about it? I mean, it is a BCA policy, but how can we make sure that states are encouraged to look at this policy and to bring their application conditions into line?
Yeah, well, we have supported and promoted Guide Dogs Queensland's recent petition to Queensland Parliament to change the legislation to allow people who are blind or vision impaired to be eligible to apply for and obtain a mobility parking permit. So if there are other petitions, then obviously we'd be happy to support that. Also, if any state is reviewing their conditions or eligibility criteria, then we would definitely make a submission to that process.
What would you encourage members to do at this point?
Yeah, well, I guess there's, as I've mentioned, if there are reviews that certain states do, then we'd definitely encourage members to be vocal about that, or even like Queensland has and put a petition to Parliament to change the legislation. So to be fairly proactive in that space as well.
So why do you think a blind or vision impaired person should be allowed to apply for a permit?
Yeah, well, as I think it does come down to safety in the end. Often car parks and street parking spaces can be a fair distance from the entrance to a shop or to the place that you're needing to go. That can obviously pose a safety hazard for people who are blind or vision impaired. With the introduction of silent vehicles or the electric vehicles, which are silent or very quiet in nature, that the busy car parks are, and especially when cars are silent or very quiet, then that's a significant safety risk for people who are pedestrians who are travelling in car parks and trying to get to the, to find the way to the front door. So in those situations, people are often carrying shopping and often travelling with children or, those types of things as well. So it really comes down to safety and being able to safely navigate your way to the shops or to wherever you're wanting to go.
And I suppose it's fair to say too that owing to the fact that disability parking spaces are frequently closer to the door of places that one wants to visit, it would be easier to learn your way if you can park in a fairly consistent place. You know where that is in relation to the shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the end of this week's program. If you'd like to contact Blind Citizens Australia, you can email bca@bca.org.au or you can telephone 1800 033 660. 1800 033 660. I'm Vaughan Bennison. I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.